All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Dr. Kirsten Show. I am your host, Dr. Kirsten Lauritsen. And today I have a guest with me. Krista, my friend from my trainings, is here with me. And we are going to talk about relationships today. And I am so excited because she has so many great tips and reframes and shifts and things that I have found personally to be extremely helpful and in my relationship. And I know that, and she's got some really great stuff coming up here soon. So Krista, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Ah, me too. Okay. Well, Krista, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself, your background, how'd you get to doing what you do today and whatever else you'd like to share? We'll start there.
Absolutely. So my name is Krista. I am an online transformation coach. And in my practice, I work with women alone. I work with women in groups. I work with women and their partners. A lot of the women who come to me for relationship, sex, and intimacy help. And I started coaching in this particular area because of the journey that I went on. Probably 10 years ago, I found myself feeling very, very alone in my marriage. And it didn't make sense to me because I had a great relationship with my husband, but it just felt like something was missing. And as I dove into this, I realized that what was missing was my relationship with myself. That over the years, I had built these walls and put up smoke and mirrors to try to present myself to the public, to my husband, to my family, in the way that I thought they wanted me to be. And I realized that that was totally made up in my mind. And that when I started taking down those walls, when I started to really get in touch with what I wanted from my life, what I wanted from my relationships, that's when everything shifted. And so that's what I do for my clients now, is really get them out of their heads, into their bodies, and start to see what it is, how they want to live their life.
Oh, it's so good. It's interesting how, one, so many people come to doing what they do now because of their own journey, which is really, really cool. I think the more that people come back to like getting into who they are and deconditioning in a way to really getting back to like really all the stripping away all the external stuff to getting really deep into to knowing who they are, it, the things that come out of it are so unique and so special to that person and their own journey. And it's so cool to get, I just know all the things we're going to get into today. So it's just like so cool to get to see that. But the second part of that too, that I think is really cool is also that how much of the work that we do is really coming back to us first.
Yes. And I think an interesting thing happens when we start to share our own journeys. When you're going through it, it can feel so isolating and so alone, like you're the only person in the world who is struggling with these feelings and these obstacles. And then once you share them, you realize, no, actually, you're not alone. And so many people can benefit when we share our experiences.
Yeah. I, on a complete side note, I actually thought that I was alone in like really struggling around having kids. And like making that decision. Like I thought that just people just did the thing, you know, they just did it. they like had kids and they kind of got over it. But what I realized is that after the fact, and once I started sharing my part of it, I realized how many people actually are or were in the same position that I was and just like really having a difficult time with where they were at in their lives at that point, in making that decision to have kids. So anyway, it's great that I think we were starting to see so much more of people sharing their stories and like their struggles, and it can help a lot in not feeling quite so alone, but also knowing that there's opportunities and resources out there that exist for that can help through anything that we're really going through. So I thought maybe a really good place to kind of start from here would be talking about habits and patterns. So what are some of the common habits and patterns that you typically see when it comes to intimacy, sex, relationships, pleasure, all of those things? What do you see the most as far as like things that hold people back?
Sure. So there are several myths or ideas or habits that keep us small. One of which is this belief that the body we have now, that whatever we're experiencing right now, that is it. Like this is the body, this is the pleasure that we were given, and this is the extent of our experience. And that is just not true. We need to have a growth mindset around intimacy and sex. This is like there's so much out there once we start digging in. The other myth that I see is this belief that a lot of women have that their body is somehow broken. And so it's this like story that keeps happening in your head that this, again, this is all I can do. This is all my body can do. It doesn't work like other people's bodies. And so that is an example of a negative habit or pattern that we fall into and that can be changed. The other thing that I see is that people get into the habit of deprioritizing connection and pleasure and intimacy, whether with themselves or with their partner, because we just devalue it. We don't talk about it a lot in our society. I like to say that women tend to view sex like ice cream. Like, sure, like every once in a while, this great treat is so nice to have, but I don't really want to see have other people see me eating it. And I certainly wouldn't want them to know that I had it for breakfast or I'm having it twice today. Like we have this negative connotation around intimacy and pleasure. And really, these are like it is the vegetables of our lives. We need more of it. We need to be have less shame around it. We need to get in the pattern of incorporating it and prioritizing it in our life, like we would with drinking our water or doing exercise or eating well. This is a foundational element of a good life.
You mentioned shame being kind of one of the things that can hold people back in this category specifically, as far as like making it a priority. What other things do you commonly see as far as well, and you also mentioned like some of the beliefs there too, like this is I'm broken, my body's broken, or this is how it's always going to be. There's nothing more here for me, or whatever that is. What other blocks do you usually see here as far as people not prioritize? I have some thoughts on this as well, but people not prioritizing this in their relationships.
Well, there's a lot of ways we could answer this, but one of which is again this belief that maybe this is something that's more important when we're younger, and as we get older, like passion is going to fade and it's less important. There are other ways that we connect with people. Another one is that as I was saying, that this is sort of a bonus, something extra, and it's not really necessary for our day-to-day life. That this is a little bit extreme, this is a little bit indulgent, rather than seeing it again as drinking your water and doing your stretching and working out. There are a lot of societal conditioning and messaging that we get about our bodies, about whether you're a woman or a man in our society, we've been given this idea of what it means, these stereotypes, and if we don't fall exactly within them, then we start to worry about our self-worth. We start to worry about how we're showing up for ourselves and our romantic partners.
One thing I know that is a pattern for me that I get stuck in, and this kind of goes, and I know there's so many different ways that we could go with that question. So there's, and it's so very unique and individual, I think, to not only the person but also to the couple. But some of the themes, like I know for me, is that kind of getting stuck in like the masculine and the feminine energies of getting really stuck in the masculine of doing everything. So like I notice that when I get locked into like getting all of the things done and in the to-do lists and all of that, it like sucks all of that energy. And I show up less in making a connection, any of it, a priority for me. And I like lose all sight of that.
Yes. You are not alone.
Yeah. Could you maybe speak to that a little bit? Because I know I'm not alone in that.
Yes. And just as a preface, when you're talking about masculine and feminine energy, I want to make sure that we're all on the same page, that we're not talking about male or female. We could use the terms yin yang, just this one energy of really doing versus the energy of being and receiving.
Thank you for expanding on that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I see this a lot with professional driven women that I work with. We rely on our mental body, our brain so, so much to have success in the world, to get through school, to really reach the heights of our career. And we forget that we also live in a body. And so part of the practice of really being is coming back to that body and letting go of control and surrendering to yourself. Mm-hmm. And this is whether you are a male or a female, there is this element of softening and finding your power in the feminine energy of this just being and receiving and less about getting things done. A lot of people that I work with will find that they're this masculine energy, this masculine brain comes out in intimacy where you're present. And then all of a sudden your to-do list comes up and you're thinking, did I remember to pick up eggs at the grocery store? And I have to remember to change the laundry when we're done. And so it's again, this practice, much like a meditation or a breath work of returning to yourself and being gentle. And the first step is recognizing that you're doing it and then making a choice to let go and to stop thinking so much. It sounds so easy, but it is a choice and it is a practice.
Yeah. Oh, both and on that for sure. That's interesting. I never made that connection, but you're right that it's kind of like meditation, or it's kind of like any time that we're just trying to turn that constant chatter in our brain off.
Mm-hmm.
So we can be really present in what's going on. Like I've noticed that, especially with like having just such a little kiddo right now, it's so easy to get sucked away by like the laundry, the things that need to get done, getting outside, getting exercise, doing the things I need to do, these things for work. And then I realize I come back like 10 to 15 minutes later and I'm like, I just totally was out in a different world and not present in my current time. And I know that that happens in all aspects of my life, not just
absolutely
with my kids. So, and isn't that interesting how sometimes we can map those patterns across to different areas in our life? So like where we start, and I know that this is something I'm sure that you see often, which is that we might be focusing on like relationships and connection and intimacy and sex and being more present in those times, but that's also going to map across to other areas of our life as well, which is so cool. And similarly, we can work on other areas of our life and see those improvements in our relationships and these areas too, because the patterns are often connected.
Yes, absolutely. I definitely see the mapping across. And when you start to work on intimacy and start to work on your relationship with yourself and start to be more present in your body, you are able to communicate your wants and needs and desires much better, whether it is at work or whether it is in the bedroom or whether it is speaking with your friends. Like it definitely there, it's your whole life.
Yeah. Love it. What other habits and patterns do you typically see? Like, I know that you've mentioned often the blaming patterns of mm-hmm. blaming others, and you see this often. Can we dive into that a little bit?
Sure. I'll even use an example of when we started down this journey. I can remember thinking, I think like our relationship could just transform so much, but I'm not sure my husband is ready. So I'm just going to wait for him to make the decision and him to say like he's ready to start taking action, because I'm farther ahead on this journey than he is. And so let's just wait and see till he catches up with me, and then we can start making a change. Mm-hmm. And that worked, you know, in my mind for a week. That I'm like, well, this is just ridiculous. If something's going to change, I need to step forward and start to make it happen. And once I was vulnerable enough to step forward and say, here's how I want to start showing up. Here are the changes that I want to make. I don't know exactly what this is going to look like. Are you willing to support me as I go down this journey? That changed everything. Mm-hmm. It took the blame away. It let us both be in a proactive state of curiosity and expansion and introspection. And you just get a lot farther when you don't put the other person on the defensive right away, when you are able to stand in your own power and take responsibility for your part of the equation and start to shift things on your side. It's a much more collaborative atmosphere than talking to your partner and complaining maybe that the dishes never go in the dishwasher. You know, maybe watch our language and watch how we interact and watch how we realize that we probably do some things around the house that could use some tweaking as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because it's about all of it. It's not just about what's going on in the bedroom.
No. Mm-hmm. And it's this idea that you can't just be nice to each other in intimate moments. Like courtship and foreplay start the moment you're done with the last session. It's like you've already entered into this next stage of interaction and emotional support and just supporting each other as humans. And so how you show up in your relationship day to day, when you're cooking dinner, when you're running the kids here and there, when you are both super busy with work, that all comes into play and all impacts your relationship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. I'm going, yeah, okay. the list is going off in my head. What about, I know you sort of touched on this, but maybe we can take it like a little bit deeper as far as, well, this isn't necessarily my problem. Mm-hmm. This is more his.
Mm-hmm.
Or vice versa. Like, I don't feel like I need to shift or change, or I don't feel like this is something that has anything to do with me. What would you say if someone were kind of coming at it from that perspective?
That may be true. It may be true. And I guarantee that we all have work we can do on ourselves. There's mm-hmm. We all have limiting beliefs and limiting decisions and stories we're telling ourselves and habits and patterns in ourselves that could use a little tune-up. We grow up in this country and don't realize how many people influence our ideas about what it means to be in a relationship, what it means to be a woman or a man in this country. And at some point we need to take stock of what do I choose to believe? Like we've received all these messages through our parents and our family and our friends and our church leaders and the media about what it means to be a human in this country. But at some point we need to decide which of those stories do we still want to keep? Which of those beliefs do we still want to keep? Where have we been living still as a teenager or as a 20-year-old? And do we need to update how we show up for ourselves and how we show up for others? We all have work to do, and we will all have work to do until that's it. Like that's what it means to be human, is to learn and grow and and we're always changing. So right. there's always more work to do to get to know yourself.
That actually goes right into the next question I was thinking would be really cool to kind of dive into is that conditioning piece, the deconditioning of what we've grown up around. And you mentioned being stuck in like teenage or like young 20s sort of like mindset around it, and that it can change and shift as we get older. What are some like maybe examples of how we can see this shift to something that fits a little bit better depending on what phase of life we're in?
Sure. So you can do this for any topic. So you can look at, you know, if you're in a marriage or if you are single or if you like, no matter where you are in life, take a look back, get 2 pages of your notebook out and just write like, okay, I'm 30 years old. I'm 35 years old or whatever age you are. What did you think your life would be like at 30 when you were 16? Like what did you think? Does your life match up? And start to see, like, is there anything, as you read it back, is there anything that kind of stings a little? Like maybe you thought by 30, you'd have $1 million in your bank account and you don't. So what does that feel like when you see that written back that you thought that this is what your life would be like? Maybe you thought you'd be married with kids and you're not. Maybe you thought you would be single and living in Paris and you're not. It's we have these ideas of what we thought our life would be like. And it's like, have you made peace with the life you're actually living? Are you still feeling like you missed out on something? Are you still putting blame on somebody for not encouraging you to do this or not encouraging you to stay in a certain career path? Where can you let go of blame for others? Where can you make peace with where your life is? Where can you celebrate all that you have done? I mean, maybe you're not single and living in Paris at the top of the Eiffel Tower, but you've accomplished a lot. Are you celebrating that, or are you still living in this feeling of that you're missing out on something?
Wow, that's a really powerful exercise.
Yes, it's interesting what you think of.
Yeah, I suppose out of all of the work we've done, I've never thought about it that way. That's super interesting. If anybody is listening right now and you've not done that, I would highly recommend doing that and seeing what comes up for you, because you'll find a lot for sure. And it may even reveal some areas where you have some blind spots that you've not seen, and that might actually lead you to why you don't have necessarily the results that you want right now in your life. That's a really powerful journaling. I think sometimes I see journaling, or I hear that people don't think journaling can be very helpful, but I think how you approach it and what questions you ask are imperative as far as getting the most out of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And I liked what you said about blind spots too, because that kind of leads in or follows up your last question of what do you say to people who think it's always their partner's problem is, yeah, we have so many blind spots in our lives and about ourselves that taking some time for introspection, taking some time to really look in the mirror is a huge exercise in vulnerability. And it leads to a lot of growth and connection when you are honest about what you're bringing to the table.
Now, I know that some people, when they start down that path, though, it can kind of bring up a bit more of like when they receive feedback about themselves, whether it's them giving themselves that feedback and kind of lifting the hood a little bit, and it gets maybe painful because they don't want to see or don't want to look at what has been there. What are some tips or reframes or things that you might give to someone who starts to get that feedback and immediately wants to like shut down or get angry or frustrated or would just prefer to maybe ignore it?
Yes. Well, that's the thing with you can call it your shadow, you can call it whatever you want, but I mean, it's still there whether or not you're going to bring it to the surface. If you don't do the work, if you don't do the introspection, it's going to come out at the most inopportune times when you, it's just all bottled up inside you. And it comes out as rage when you're just talking to some, you know, airline worker who just told you that your flight got canceled and all of this comes out. And then you're like, oh my gosh, that is not who I am. Why did I have that outburst like that? Like, we're human. We're all human. We're all going to have things we don't like. By bringing them to the light and owning them and deciding, like, is this still how I want to show up? Or is this something I want to change about myself? I mean, none of us are perfect. We all have friends and family who love us, despite or because of these perceived negative aspects of ourselves. And so I think some gentle compassion and forgiveness, and then taking responsibility. If this is something you don't like, how are you going to change it? You know, the choice is yours.
And I personally think that this is why having support or coaching or help around it can be so helpful, because if it is two things on this, like one, if it is shame or if it is guilt or it is anger or it is anything that comes up, you have someone who is able to support you through that so that you can heal and you can get those emotions out of your body and not having them be stored anymore. And you can take on something new and something different. And then two, for those out there who have kids, like you and I have talked about so much, you also are now going to be able to model in many ways that feedback, how we can receive feedback in a way that's really productive, that's really helpful, and in a way that then helps us, as you've mentioned multiple times here, take responsibility for our part in it. For someone who's maybe not super familiar with that, as far as like taking radical or like responsibility for ourselves and our experience through something, can you shed a little bit more light on or talk to that a little bit, like what it looks like to really take response? You've mentioned it multiple times, but I'm going to get very like specific on this one. Go ahead.
So I'll give an example of what shows up in our house. And that is, I came back from a trip and I immediately started cleaning up the kitchen. And then I saw my husband's body language shift. And he was going on the defensive because he was in charge of the house for the week. And he was interpreting my behavior as some sort of negative comment about his holding the space for the week.
Sure.
And so it was saying, okay, I know in the past that maybe I have done this or said this or behaved this way, but I want you to know if I have a problem, if I am disappointed, if I am concerned, I will use my words. I'm not going to just expect that you guess what I'm saying or expect that you guess what my body language means. Like, I'm not mad. I'm here to help. I'm here. Like, I saw this pile needed to be put back in the fridge and, or the counters, whatever it was.
Yeah.
But it's really paying attention to how your behavior impacts the people around you.
Yeah.
And making sure that the messages that they're receiving are what you intended. And sometimes that means clarifying with words. Sometimes that means, I know this has been my past pattern, but here is how I want to show up for you now in the future. If you get the sense that I'm not doing that, can you gently, like, hear the words that I could use to hear in a safe way and not get defensive? What I need to do to make sure we're communicating authentically to each other.
Yeah. Yeah. It takes practice too. Like, at first I noticed, I'll add this in too, as far as like when you start with that, a reframe I would give is to see everything that comes up as curiosity, like looking at it with curiosity. So if you start with that, like your example there, as far as saying, hey, this would be really helpful for me if you spoke in this way and gave me this gentle nudge as far as, where this pattern maybe has shown up in the past. When I love to take those opportunities to kind of collect data. Like,
Yes.
what thoughts and what patterns are coming up here? Like, what was the immediate first thought that I just had? Was it guilt? Was it shame? Was it, oh, shoot, I just did this again. Like, ugh, or, oh, this is so hard. Like, ugh, like, whatever it is that kind of that pattern is that comes up gives you a lot of data as far as where these patterns have like taken root and what you sort of internal dialogue you're having around a lot of it. Because when you, instead of like getting lost down the like, I'm like such a bad person, or like I giggle, but like I like this is definitely something that I can relate to. Or this is like something that, whatever that dialogue is, that mental spiral, I would say, or the emotional spiral that we sometimes get into, we can take note of what that pattern is. And then instead of going down that route, we can just say like, oh, that's very interesting. I'm very curious about where this is coming from. And then bring that to like your programs, right? Or to your coaching or coaching with, anyone. You can take that and you can say, hey, like this is the scenario that came up. I'd love to get to the root of where this is coming from so that I can be more present with my husband or within this situation or scenario, and that way I can improve.
Yes, absolutely. And my husband did a really good example of this the other day. We were
Ooh, love it.
having a discussion, and I said, "Can we talk about something?" And I saw his body language shift,
All
but
those words.
I know. And so he immediately became defensive, not a great conversation. But later, after reflection, he said, "You know, I get feedback and criticism from my clients all day long, and I'm able to handle it. So how would you think about next time starting the conversation with, can I give you something to process?" And so he's like, then my mind knows that this isn't a shame thing. I'm not like a little kid getting in trouble. It is like, this is some data. This is some information that I need to take some space and reflect on, as a communication piece rather than as a, like that somebody's in trouble type thing. So yes, I agree with everything you said. There's a lot of opportunity to get curious when we have disagreements, when we feel something building up in our chest, when someone that we love does something. Yeah, it's a great opportunity to figure out what's really going on.
Something that I think is so interesting about this conversation specifically is that we're talking about like intimacy and sex and relationships and connection, and we haven't necessarily talked about anything that you would actually think. Like, I don't know, we could go anywhere without positions, toys, like whatever. We haven't touched on that at all. What we've actually touched on is what's going on in our mind and our brain and in our life and in our patterns. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yes. And I think for a long time in my life, you were chasing those clickbait headlines of new positions and new toys and new this, and this is going to be the band-aid that fixes everything. But as we've been talking about, really communication, knowing ourselves, finding those limiting beliefs that we don't even realize we're carrying with us about sex and intimacy. Being honest about our vulnerabilities and our fears, and maybe that our body doesn't look like it did when we first met, and like things have shifted, and I don't know if I'm really like, there's a lot of baggage we bring in with us. And so, spending the time and investing in strong communications and knowing yourself and being comfortable in your body and shining the light on these shameful, hurtful emotions that we have can really transform how you show up for each other and how you connect and how you receive pleasure.
That just sort of kind of cued a thought of mine, which was that, and I knew that was a pattern that was just for right then, but just recently, like I just recently had a kid, and I noticed when I got, and I know this is different for a lot of women, like some pregnancies, they feel great and they have a really high libido. Some they feel really uncomfortable and it can vary depending on the pregnancy. But I know that for me towards the end, I just felt so uncomfortable that I really struggled with that side of it. Although like I knew that, having sex towards the end of a pregnancy can actually be really beneficial as far as softening all of the things. But that was the first time that I really felt uncomfortable in my own body, like not just like how I felt in it, because I mean you're like so round but also like there were I recognized a lot of like body image things that came up from long ago that I really hadn't noticed. I didn't know that I still had those things, and I really was surprised by them. And I didn't entirely know what to do with them. Even though I have all these tools, I didn't really know what to do with them because I hadn't felt those that way in a long time. And I knew it was temporary because I knew what was going on was not going to be there for very much longer. But I found it so fascinating that I felt so uncomfortable. And I really struggled with like intimacy towards the end there. Like it was really hard for me. Do you have any kind of tips for someone who might be in that kind of scenario, but maybe it's not just specific to pregnancy, right? Like maybe that's just, that is kind of the reality of kind of the everyday. You've already given so many great tips, but like, what is something that you could speak to as far as that goes?
Yes, sure. So in like you said, pregnancy is one example, and it's unique because you know things are going to change at some point. Mm-hmm. But sometimes we have sickness or we have medications or we have who knows what, unexplained stress, and our bodies change and we feel like we don't have control about what the changes. We don't know if there's going to be an end in sight to what's happening. And so what do you do at that point? And that again, if you are in a relationship, I think shedding some light on this, speaking out loud that this is something I'm very vulnerable about. And whatever words you want to use to describe how you feel about your body, like bring them to light and share them and let either your journal or your partner or your best friend, whoever it is that you want to share this with, let them know that this is how I'm feeling. And just hold space for that and just notice what comes up. Let yourself feel it. Let yourself then start moving it through your body, however that makes sense for you. I know you have a lot of great parasympathetic tools and tips. But the first one is just being graceful and acknowledging that this is your reality.
Yeah. Yeah.
And sometimes we can make a change, and sometimes it feels like that change is not within our grasp at that moment for whatever reason. Like I said, sometimes certain medications just change how our body is, and no amount of diet or exercise is really going to counteract what else is going on. And my suggestion at that point is then making a decision. I know I came to a point where I had to decide if I was going to let my concerns with how my body changed through all of my pregnancies, is that going to continue to be a reason that I hold back in intimacy, that I kind of try to hide myself? Or am I going to say, that's not fair to me, that's not fair to my husband, like, this is the body I have, we're just going to go for it and see what I need to do to make peace with this new body, and take the steps to move forward regardless of what's going on with your physical body.
Right. And we can make peace and acceptance with where we're at. And that doesn't necessarily mean that it's like we're giving up either. I think that was one thing that came across really loud and clear to me, especially with a few of my clients, was that they struggled with if I'm at peace and accept where I'm at now, then I'm just giving up. Like, I'm never going to make headway or progress on this goal of how I want to look or feel in my body. You have any
correct? It is
thoughts
it
on
is,
that?
It is not putting your life on hold until you have the physical body that you think is
Yes.
the ideal. It is
Yes.
like living your life today.
Yes.
It is still doing all the things to be healthy, still doing all the things to make sure you're moving your body in a way that will allow it to continue to move this way for many, many, many years. And it is accepting that you are entitled to pleasure in the body you have today. You do not have to wait to lose those 5, 10, 15, 20 pounds. Like, just do it. This is your life. I think women in our society have this idea that our physical bodies are the most important thing when it comes to finding a partner or being intimate. And it's just not. Like, we're all looking for that emotional connection. We're all looking to feel seen and heard and loved. And that can take place whatever your body size is. And we're on a journey, and hopefully we're picking partners who are there to support us as we move down that path. But I'm very strongly believe that self-love, that coming to really return to your body, is the first step in healing.
Right. And you're worthy of that. Like, I created a breakthrough session around worthiness for a reason.
Yes. It's a good one.
Because yeah. Like, how much of that, like, just what you said really comes down to, like, you are worthy of all of it, of all of it.
Yes.
And once we finally believe that about ourselves and about our lives here and our experience, that we are worthy of having pleasure, we are worthy of connecting with people, we are worthy of being significant, we're worthy of all of it. And when we finally stop looking outside of ourselves for the things that we think that are going to fill that void, and come back to realizing, like, that it's us, it's in ourselves, it's coming back to that internal knowledge that we are worthy of just being.
Yes. Yes. And that really is leaning into that feminine power of just trusting that you are, like, you're worthy, you are powerful, you are perfect exactly how you are. And also, you can change if you want to, but you are perfect exactly how you are. And yes, that's a great
so
starting
good.
point.
So good. Okay. Last question, because I think this is also really important. And I know you've talked about this in some of our group conversations as well, but as far as for someone who's maybe not in a partnership, in a relationship, or, you know, is single right now, there are some things that they can be doing too, right? As far as, you know, maybe they want to be in a relationship, but they just don't have it right now. Or maybe they just got out of a relationship and they're just realizing, like, oof, there's some things that need to change before I do that again. What are some things that you might speak to as far as, like, coming back to ourselves and things like that, that would be helpful for someone who's not in a relationship?
Yes. And I think that exercise we talked about of journaling is a great place for everyone to start, regardless of your relationship status. I think it's very important for people who are single to really get to know themselves and really revisit who they are today. Again, sometimes we get so caught up in life that we still think that we're 18 or 20 years old, and you don't realize we've evolved and changed a lot since then. And so maybe the kind of person that we wanted to date 5 years ago is different than who we want to date now. So getting clear on who you are, getting clear on what brings you pleasure, because we are all responsible for our own pleasure. We need to know how our bodies like to be touched. We need to know what to ask for. We need to know how to help our future partners know how to interact with us. There is a lot you can be doing in your, whether it's an in-between or just life. I mean, we don't want to make the assumption that everyone is going to find a partnership and that is the only way to live life. Like, this is your life. This is this is your one chance to, as far as we know, to experience this human existence. How are you going to live it to the fullest? What can you, like, what do you want? How are you getting back into your body every day? How are you living aligned life so that you are attracting the right kind of people into your life, whether they're friends or partners? This is a tremendously important work to do regardless of your relationship status.
Right. Oh, you just said something and my mom brain just took it away from me. But you spoke there were some really important like pieces there that I thought were spot on. It's okay. It exists. For anybody who's listening to this, you can listen back and just re-listen to that part because there's so many really key points there. And I do think that's really, it's really key that, I think what I was going to expand on that was that, like, I think sometimes when we're in a place where, like, maybe we wish we had a relationship or a partner, or we wish we had something else,
mm-hmm.
a reframe that I find very helpful is to look at it as an opportunity of what can I do to grow. And you mentioned this actually at the beginning of the episode, is like, what can I do here to grow personally? What can I do here to learn? What can mm-hmm. I do here to expand and shift what maybe wasn't working for me that I want? Oh, I know what it was and what I want to work now. You mentioned knowing how we like, so this all ties in, like knowing how we like to be, my brain, see, it's like, it's great. knowing how we like to be touched, knowing how we like to be loved, knowing how we like to be, like, what do we want? I know that some people can feel a little weird about asking for what we want.
Mm-hmm.
Can you speak to that a little bit?
Sure.
On the importance of that?
Yes. If you don't ask for what you want, you run the risk of being continually disappointed in unmet expectations because your partner is not a mind reader. Your Yes. friends are not mind readers. Your children are not mind readers. Like,
right.
None of us are mind readers. This is the surefire way to let your partner or your friends or, again, whoever know what you need. If you don't ask for it, there's no guarantee you're going to get it. And it's right. Like, life is short. Jump in and practice small, practice small. Ask for, you know, if your server at the restaurant forgot the ketchup, you ask for the ketchup, and you just start
right.
building on that of if you need help with carpools, if you need help with something around the house, if you need help with whatever, you ask for it and slowly build up. And again, this can be a conversation with a partner of, I want us to start asking for what we need. And the more you practice it, the easier it's going to get. Start
yeah.
with, start with the small stuff, start with a, you know, can you grab a fork from the counter for me? And then you move into the, then you move into the trickier one.
That's such a good point, actually. There was one that stands out to me a lot because when I first started dating my husband, that was something that my family did a lot, was like, hey, mom, can you just grab, like, I would see her going to the kitchen, right? Hey, mom, can you just help me? Can you grab this for me, please? And mm-hmm. always with manners. But, you know, and of course, you know, we were always happy to grab the thing or do whatever it was. But that was one thing that he didn't have a whole lot when he was growing up. And so he just kind of mentioned it as a kind of an off thing, like, oh, that, like, it's so nice to be able to, like, ask for that. And so it's like the little things that we can do and shift that make a really big difference. And sometimes we weren't necessarily raised in that way, but we come to find later on that that is something that we actually really like, and that's okay. And that's kind of the
yes.
point, is learning what we like and what we want, and then asking for that.
And I think a good follow-up to asking for what you want and inviting your partners to do the same is to remember to, like, genuinely thank the people around us for how they show up for us, and notice the little things that they do. And if your husband grabs the fork or the spoon or whatever and comes back to the table without you asking, it's a thank you for noticing that. I appreciate that. And it sounds so silly, but it really shifts things. It's another one of those examples of those small things that make a big shift in your everyday life.
Yeah. The acknowledgement, I think, is a really, really helpful because, yes, although it is like nice and that, you know, we would hope and expect for that to be done in some cases.
Yes.
The acknowledgement of like, hey, thank you for doing that is still really powerful, even
yes.
when it's an everyday thing.
Absolutely. And sometimes you say thank you for things that, like you said, it's like this is expected, and yet it's really nice to be like acknowledged and because you don't know what someone else is going through. It could have been a really difficult thing to stop on the way home and pick up whatever it was, or you know, there's so much. It goes a long way.
Totally. Goodness, I love it. Oh, Krista, I knew this was going to be a great episode and it did not disappoint. That is for sure. Do you have anything else that you'd like to add to this episode that I didn't ask about or that you think should be included?
No, but I will say that I am hosting a online group program for women. It's an 8-week container. It is meant to be slow so that our bodies can catch up with our brain. Our brains learn things so quickly. And so this is intentionally slow paced to allow our bodies to really experience this expansion and growth. It is for women who are single. It is for women who are in relationships. If you have any questions, please reach out to me. I'd be happy to go into it further.
Yes. And she has a new round. So if you're watching this, like as the time, like when it's released, she has a group starting like this week. So March 1st through 7th is the time to get in. If you're watching this on like later on and you're watching this as a replay, I'll have the links below so you can go find her and see when her next round's opening. I know that this is not going to be the only time that she offers it because it's going to be amazing. So I will have all of those links in the show descriptions for anyone who wants to come find you and get into that program because I know that it's amazing. So already. I just know it. So, okay. Thank you so much, Krista, for being here.
Thank you.
Yes, this was amazing. I hope that you all go and find Krista and follow her. I'll have your like Instagram linked and all that too, so people can find you and ask you questions if they have any. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. I always appreciate it. It means a lot. So, have a good rest of your day and week, and I will see you next week for another episode. Take care.